Good morning. Today's Daf Yavam is Kuf Yud Aleph. We are on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We're a little bit down from the top of the Amud. I'll give you a starting point in just a moment. Let's just recap a little bit from yesterday's Daf. We are discussing two marriages that operate mid the Rabbanan. The Chachamim were concerned about the welfare of two different types of women, despite the fact that these women cannot establish a legal marriage because they don't have the requisite das, but the Chachamim provided for them the das necessary so that they can get married. It's a nisuin derabbanan. Later this morning, we're going to try to gauge exactly what degree, what level of marriage we're talking about over here, but that's coming up later on. It happens to be that later as we approach today's daf, it's going to get a little bit more complicated. The Gemara is going to really get into the nuts and bolts in terms of the mechanics of this marriage, but right now we could just simply say it's an nisuin derabbanan. It's a rabbinic marriage because they don't have the das. The two women under discussion are a ketana and a chereshes. So a ketana is a minor, and a chereshes is a woman who does not have das. She's a deaf mute. The assumption back in the time of the Gemara that anyone who's a deaf mute does not have das, and so these are women that need to be cared for, but simply can't get married because they don't have the das. So what do the chachamim do? So the chachamim basically established a vehicle in which they can get married. A ketana can get married by her brother or by her mother, despite the fact that the Torah does not empower them to do so, but the Chachamim did, and so that marriage operates mid the Rabbanan, and the Chereshes doesn't seem like anyone's going to need to provide the das for her. That certainly seems to be the case. In other words, the Chachamim just simply allowed a man to be Mekadosh a Chereshes in order that she get married. The husband, as we're going to be discussing, can be a Cheresh, can be a Chereshes. It doesn't really matter, meaning there's still going to be a Tzura framework of a marriage. Okay. So those are all givens, meaning that's just simply the basics to get into yesterday's daf. Then in yesterday's daf, we discussed the following. Let's say a man was married to two of these women. Okay, so he's now caring for not one, but two of these types of women. So let's go easy. Let's start off with an easy scenario. Let's say the two of his wives are both ketanos. Okay, and then Rachmanis, he dies. And now what happens? So these two women now are going to have a Zika. Remember, the Zika is just a reflection of their marriage. If their marriage is Midrabanan, the Zika now that brings them over to their brother-in-law is also Midrabanan as well. Okay. So over here, if everything's equal, okay. So if, let's say, for example, the two ketanos now are coming via Zika to their brother-in-law, so then what the brother-in-law is going to do is do either Yibam or Chalitza to one, and that'll pot to the other. All things here being equal. Okay. Then, what if, let's say, both of the wives are chereshes, charashos? Okay, I guess that sounds right. Sure. Okay, good. So so what happens now? So again, same thing. In other words, if the husband dies, so now these two wives are coming at their brother-in-law with a zika, which is just going to be a reflection of their marriage. The marriage was midrabanan. Their zika is midrabanan, and therefore, what the surviving brother is going to do is again one of the two things. Either the chalitza to Yibam to one of them, and that'll pot to the other. Okay. Here's where it gets difficult, and we saw this in the Mishnah yesterday. What if one was a cheresh and the other one was a ketana? He's married to a chereshes and a ketana. Both of them are midrabanan. So what did the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah says, ein bias achas poteret sarasa. So the bia with one is not going to pot to the other. Okay. We know that they're both midrabanan. We don't know how each one of them operates relative to the other. Okay. Is one higher than the other? One lower than the other?
They're not identical.
Huh? They're not identical. Okay. What's clear is that they're not identical. And since we're not playing in they're not playing on the same playing field, so therefore we have a problem. Okay. Now, what we need is a solution, and that's going to come up a little bit later. Meaning in just a few minutes from now, we're going to try to attempt to solve for the problem. The Mishnah doesn't do this. The Mishnah just introduces us to the fact that we have a problem. What we don't right now have is a solution. That's coming up. Stay tuned. Okay. Meanwhile, before we get there, what we asked yesterday was a really simple question. That is a chereshes. Is she candidate for chalitza? Meaning when you read the Mishnah, like we just went over, so it certainly sounds like a chereshes is a candidate for chalitza. That's the impression that you get from the Mishnah. The problem, of course, is that we have a braisa that tells us that a chereshes is not a candidate for chalitza. Why? Because there's a speaking part to chalitza. And that speaking part is essential, it's critical, it's ma'akev. Now, you'll remember, I did this already yesterday, but it's okay. I know it's good to review. You'll remember that previously in our Masechta we said that speaking is not that critical. Kriya is not ma'akev, right? We did say that. Now, that part's true. We did say that, right? There are three parts of the chalitza. There is the actual removal of the shoe, there's the spitting, and then there's the kriya, right? Chalitza is hana'al and rikika and kriya. Now, what do we say? Chalitza, that's critical. Rikika, debatable, right? Machlokes hatanayim, whether it's critical or not critical. Kriya, everyone agrees that's not critical. So over here, the Cheresh is then unable to do the Kriya, and therefore the Chalitza is no good. Why? So the Gemara already asked this question earlier, and the Gemara provided the basic answer that Kriya is not critical, but you have to at least be able to do it, meaning you have to have the potential to do it. Kol ha'ray labila bila ma'akevus bo. So as long as you could do something, so in some areas in halacha, this being one of them, that's sufficient. But if you can't do it, if you don't just simply have the physical ability to do so then you're just not a candidate for chalitza. Okay, so the Cheresh is not a candidate for chalitza. Problematic, right? So yes, it's problematic, but here's what we pointed out yesterday. It depends where the marriage started off with, meaning she is a candidate for chalitza. She obviously is coming off of a earlier marriage. That earlier marriage that we're describing right now. So what was she at the time? So what the Gemara said, B'shem Rav, right? This was a discussion yesterday that we're in the middle of discussing. Is that look? If the original marriage happened while she was a chereshes, so now what? So now that marriage is midrabanan. That only was constituted midrabanan, and therefore now as she presents herself as a chalitza, so you know what? Same thing. Meaning, I know generally speaking a chereshes is not a candidate for chalitza, but since her marriage started off as a chereshes, so the marriage started off, the Gemara's language is birimiza, using hand gestures, hand signals, however which way you can communicate with her, meaning the marriage started off midrabanan, okay, so she can excuse herself midrabanan. But if the marriage started off midaraisa, meaning that when she married her first husband, she was mashi, she was a pikachas. So now she entered in the marriage midaraisa. Now, rachmana, she becomes a chereshes over the course of the marriage. And then her husband dies. Okay, real rachmanas. And then her husband died. And now she presents herself to her brother-in-law. So now what do we say? We say now that she no longer is a candidate for chalitza. Because the zika is real. Real, but by real I mean it's a daraisa, and now what is she going to do? She's going to extricate herself using a chalitza? Yeah, but she's a non-speaker, meaning she can't speak, and therefore she's not eligible for a chalitza. So this is what we pointed out yesterday, a distinction to be made between whether she's a chereshes mikara, or she started off as a pikachas and then became a chereshes. A chereshes mikara, candidate for chalitza. A woman starting off as a pikachas and then becoming chereshes, no longer a candidate for chalitza.
So this basically offends Rav Shaul's thing about just doing chalitza because you cannot do the yibum lishma nowadays.
You can't do what? Well, I'm sorry. What?
Rav Shaul.
Yeah. Right.
That you should do the chalitza only because nowadays we cannot have a
right. Okay, fine. Yeah, in other words, right. If you're Rav Shaul over here, chalitza, but chalitza over here is just simply not an option. It's just not. It's not even on the table. As a possibility.
Right.
Okay, good. All right, very good. All right, hold that thought. We're going to come back to it. So we wanted to see whether or not this proves correct or does not prove correct. Eisve. So we are starting now on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We're now 10 lines from the bottom, and that already was a significant introduction. Significant. But this is the easy part of today's daf. Okay, so if your head is spinning already at this point in time, okay, so take a short break. Come back in a few minutes, okay? Because this is the easier part. So Eisvei. So now a challenge. Neachin echa pikech vecha chereshes unshteachayos echa pikachas vechas chereshes. So here, these are a series of mishnayos that are going to be opening up the 14th parak. Meaning these mishnayos we're going to be seeing Yirtzeh Hashem in tomorrow's daf, and these mishnayos speak about what happens when you have marriages of brothers and sisters. Some of the cases are brothers and non-sisters. Some of the cases are brothers and sisters. So over here, this happens to be a case of brothers and sisters. And new, so the brothers, one's a cheresh, one's a pikach. And of the sisters, one's a cheresh and the other's a pikachas. And what happens is that what you have is they married those that were appropriate to them. The Pikech married the Pikachas and the Cheresh married the Chereshes. Okay, now, what happens? Meis Cheresh ba Chereshes, ma yase Pikach ba Pikachas. So if the Cheresh dies, the Cheresh brother. So again, just, all you have to do is just think about, and I know I'm making it sound like it's so simple. It's not simple. But all you have to do is just think about the marriage, and the marriage will inform us about the Zika. So if the Cheresh dies, so again, what was his marriage? His marriage was Durabanan. And now the Zika that she is presenting to her brother-in-law, that's a Durabanan Zika. So Teitzim Mishamachus Isha. So over here, what's his current marriage to his current wife? That's a marriage Midaraisa. So the current marriage is a marriage Midaraisa. The Zika coming at him is a Durabanan. And furthermore, that's his wife's sister. Oh, this is easy. Right? This case is cut and dry. In other words, now that is the woman being presented as the Yavama is in fact an Erva. It's Achos Ishto. It's the sister of his wife. Okay. Everyone can go home. Meaning there's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza. That part's easy. Now, here's the part where it doesn't get easy. So now you have the Pikech dying, the Pikech brother dying. Now his wife, the widow, now is being presented as the Yavama. Okay, now what kind of Zika are we talking about? We're talking about a bona fide Zika Daraisa. The marriage was Midaraisa. This is Zika's Midaraisa. Now we have what's called a conundrum, a problem, because his current marriage with his current wife is Midarabanan. The Zika being presented to him by the Yavama is Daraisa. What do you do? So Moshe Sisha Beged Veishasachiv Asur La'olam. So what he's going to do is that he's going to have to divorce his wife, because what is his wife? His wife is Achos Zekukaso. It is the wife of his Zekuka. His Zekuka over here is a Daraisa. So his wife is Achos Zekukaso. Now what can he do vis-a-vis his Yavama? So as far as his Yavama is concerned, Asura L'Olam. He's going to be forbidden to her forever. Why? In other words, why forbidden to her forever? So Rashi points out over here. So first of all, chalitza is off the table. Remember, cheresh is not a candidate for chalitza. So chalitza is just, it's done. In other words, nothing to talk about. And then Rashi writes, Rashi, by the way, if you want to follow me inside, Rashi's on the very top of the Amud. It's the fourth line down. And now, as far as doing the mitzvah of Yibam is concerned, it's his wife's sister. Meaning, there was some kinyan that he had with his wife. Okay, again, it's partial, but it's something, and therefore this Yavama is now his wife's sister. So Chalitza's off the table, Yibam's off the table. Okay. This is, to say the very least, a very unfortunate situation. Okay. Forever, she could die. What? Because there's no solution right now. Meaning, this is it. At this moment. Meaning, right.
So she cannot marry then? She cannot marry?
She'll be stuck. Right. Correct. She'll be stuck. Correct. It's halachically, it's a real bind. So once again, what the Gemara is wondering right now is, I don't understand. Meaning, if we're talking about where she was a chereshes mikara, so then we said that she could be a candidate for chalitza. So over here, the Mishnah is assuming that she's not a candidate for chalitza. I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me that this is someone who started off as a pikachas and she becomes a chereshes. So mi matzi mapik v'atanan. Nischarisha yotzi nishtatis lo yotzi. Nischarishu nishtatis lo yotzi lamis. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. We have a Mishnah. We're going to learn the Mishnah later on. That if she becomes a chereshes, so nischarisha yotzi. Nishtatis lo yotzi. V'nischarish hu o nishtatis. Onishata lo yotzi olamis. So the if he becomes a cheresh, or he becomes mentally incapable, incompetent, so lo yotzi olamis. So he can't divorce her, because he doesn't have the das to divorce her. So Alala becheresh meikara. We're talking about where he is a cheresh meikara. Now umiduhu cheresh meikara. So now we just established that he was a cheresh meikara. So he nami chereshes meikara. Ah, so we're just making the following assumption. Since we know that he has to be a cheresh, meaning even from the very beginning of the marriage, otherwise there would be no, otherwise the other half of the Mishnah simply wouldn't work out. So now, we have to assume that he was a cheresh meikara, umidachayas charshos meikaras, nachriyos nami charshos meikara. Now, in the case of,
Rabbi, what are you up to?
Okay, I'm on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We're halfway down on the Amud. Okay, the line that begins the word that the line begins with is Meikara. So Meikara Nachros Namicharosh is Meikara. So now, if one of the cases is talking about where she was a Cheresh Meikara, so all the cases of the Mishnah are talking about Cheresh Meikara. Remember, all these Mishnayos are being sourced from the same Mishnah. Vitzanan Gabi Nachrios. Now, in the case of Nachrios, what do we say? Nachrios just simply means that the wives were not sisters to one another. Kones Ein Choletzo. That you can marry, but you can't do chalitza. Okay, so what we just did is that we put together a lot of pieces of information, and basically we have come to the conclusion that the Mishnayos are talking about where she was a cheresh meikara, and chalitza never seems to be an option. So ishtik. So at that point in time, it was quiet, meaning our entire premise now has been upended. We thought that if you're a cheresh meikara, you could be a candidate for chalitza. It seems from the Mishnah that you are not a candidate for chalitza. So ki asa l'kama de Rav Yosef amalei mai tama tusve meha. So Rav Yosef says, I don't understand why you were so challenged. You could just simply say that. Look, in other words, I understand that the Mishnah is using more the word cheresh, but cheresh doesn't always have to mean the same thing. In the case of the Achayos, so the Chereshos are Chereshos Meikara. In the case of the Nachrios, they are Pikachos V'achachach Nizchashu. In other words, it's a little bit tricky, but you could say it. You could just simply say that the Cheresh in different cases are talking about different types of Chereshos. Okay. Ela'i Bayilach La'asvuyim Eha. Okay, so the Gemara says fine. So being that our Mishnah no longer really is going to be serving as a real challenge, and again, just to make sure that we're all clear, here's what we are defending. We're defending the position that if a woman was a cheresh meikara, married to a man, widowed, and now she presents to her brother-in-law can do chalitza. Ah, you can't do chalitza with a chereshes? Ah, not a cheresh meikara is fine. Because again, cheresh meikara means that what? Her original marriage was midrabanan, and so therefore, her threshold of what is needed to be done for chalitza is really low. She comes into the marriage, so to say, with a really low bar, right? I'm speaking euphemistically. She comes into the marriage with a really low bar, so the chalitza can be done also with a really low threshold as well. She can't do kriya? Okay, she can't do kriya. Her marriage should begin with was midrabanan. On the other hand, if she got into the marriage midaraisa, i.e. she was a pikachas when she got into the marriage, and then Rachmana, she becomes a chereshes, and then further Rachmana, she becomes now a widow, so now she is no longer a candidate for chalitza. Why? Because chalitza, her zika is bona fide, meaning her marriage to her original husband was midaraisa, her zika was bona fide, I'm sorry, her marriage was bona fide, her zika now is bona fide, and now to extricate herself using a chalitza, but this chalitza, however, is not going to work. Why? Because for her, kriya becomes now critical, and she can't do the kriya. Therefore, she's not a candidate for chalitza. Good. This is where we started off our day. We're still here, meaning we're still at this very same point. It just now happens to be that we challenged it numerous times from Mishnayos. The Gemara has defended the challenges. Okay, one more round of challenges and defense. So, le'usve meha. Shnei achin charashin nisun shtei achayos pikachos. So let's say the brothers are themselves cheresh. The brothers are deaf mute. And the sisters they married are pikachos. Oh, shtei achayos charashos, oh shtei achayos achas pikachos achas chereshos. Or the sisters are, or charashos. Or the sisters are one pikachos, the other chereshos. V'chein. Or let's say the two sisters are charashos. Nisus l'shnei achin pichin, l'shnei shnei achin charashin, ol l'shnei achin achas pikech v'achas cheresh. Okay, so this is a Mishnah. The Mishnah is just simply describing that on one side, either the brother side or the sister side, they're both cheresh. Okay? And once you have it on one side that both of them are cheresh, it really doesn't matter what's the story on the other side. Okay? And the point is that hare elu pochos, elu peturos, mina chalitza umina yibum. So they're going to be exempt from chalitza from yibum. Because, meaning over here, since on one of the sides, either brothers or sisters, they're both charashos, so therefore we just lost our candidacy for chalitza, and from yibum as well. Now, if let's say the wives are not sisters, so then so then what you can do is you can marry, and if you want to divorce after you marry them, you can. Meaning chalitza won't be an option, but marriage will be an option. And again, just to make sure that everyone's head is wrapped around this pretty good, over here, you don't have the consideration of achos ishta. Meaning if they're not chrios, if they're not related to one another. So now what's happening is that you have a woman being presented to you for zika. The zika may not be midaraisa, so what? In other words, if the zika is not midaraisa, but it's still, if there's some zika over there, so the zika could be addressed. And as long as we're not taking into the issue achos ishto, achos zikukaso, so then what you simply do is you marry her. And you may be fulfilling the mitzvah of yibum. Whatever you're doing, meaning, let's assume it's some fulfillment of the mitzvah of yibum, you're married to her. Afterwards, you want a divorce after that, that's fine. Now, hey chidami. So once again, all we know is that we're talking about a cheresh and a chereshes. What's the history? So are we talking about where the marriage started off while she was a pikachas and then they become cheresh mimatzim afka v'hatanan nishtates lo yotze nischareshu o nishtates lo yotze olamis. So if he becomes a cheresh over the course of the marriage, so that's it. The marriage is now going to exist in perpetuity. He simply does not have the wherewithal to divorce her. And the marriage is operating midaraisa. So, elalav acharashi mikara. So, it must be that the men are a cherish mikara. Midehech umidehein charashi mikara inu nami charashos mikara. And again, we're going to have to assume that, look, it's the same case. Now, we're not jumping from one case to another. In the very same case, if we assume that he was a cherish mikara, she's also a charasha mikara. And now, what did we just say? So we just established that the case is talking about where they were cheresh meikara. And we also said that as long as they're not sisters to one another, so what are your options? So the Mishnah over there goes over one option. What's the one option? And that is marry her. Meaning again, marry her, meaning it may be yibum. Maybe, may not be, whatever, but you can marry her. No big deal. But what is not on the table for consideration? Chalitza is not on the table for consideration. Why not? Tiyufta de rabba tiyufta. So in other words, so that really is challenging. Meaning because in that case over there, we're not moving from one case to a different case. In that very case over there, everybody was a cheresh meikara. Everybody was a cheresh meikara. And then in the event that they die and in the event that it's not your wife's sister, so then what you could do is you could marry, but you can't do chalitza. So it seems to be a pretty good proof that chalitza is not an option for a cheresh, regardless of whether cheresh mikara, regardless of whether pikachas ve'acharkach nischarsha. Okay, that was a long journey, just to get to a conclusion. But we got to a conclusion that a cheresh is not a candidate for chalitza. Okay, and regardless of what the history was. Okay, ketanah v'chereshes. Okay, now, as I pointed out already, we are now going to get to the more challenging part of today's daf. Okay, so everybody, just take a moment, pause. Okay, let's clear the air. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's review what we know in the Mishnah. Again, a man is married to two wives. If they're both ketanos and he dies, so now they're both presenting the same degree of zika to the brother-in-law. And again, the brother-in-law will do yibam or chalitza to one of them, and that's fine. Okay, if let's say the both wives are charashos, so now if he dies, well, what did we just learn together? So if he dies, even if they're cheresh meikara, they're going to present to their brother-in-law. The brother-in-law has only one option, either to do yibum. They can't do chalitza. Okay, fine. Rabba wanted to make a distinction whether they're Chersh Mikara. As we just came to the conclusion, it doesn't make a difference. Therefore, Chalitza is off the table. Therefore, the only option is Bia, Yibo. Okay, fine. Okay. But then the Mishnah said, here's where we have a conundrum. And that is, he's married to two wives, and both of the marriages are Midrabanan. One is a Katana. The other is a Chereshis. And then he dies. And now these two Derabbanan marriages now converted to two Zika Derabbanan, to Derabbanan Zikas, now going to the brother-in-law. But the problem is now, is that they are minor league Zikas. Okay, forgive me for the analogy. Okay, if you may like it, you may not. They're both minor league Zikas now being presented to him, but it's not the same league, right? Two different minor leagues. Okay, so what now says the Mishnah? Now the problem is that now we're not on the same playing field, and so therefore the Yibum or the Chalitza of one will not affect the other. Oh, okay. Right, that part's easy, right? Okay. I don't know about easy, but hopefully you see it. Hopefully you see it clearly.
What if they're both not eligible, why is there a disparity between them?
They're both coming at you with a Zika. But it's just not.
They're both Chereshim, right?
No, one's a Chereshim and the other's a Katana.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right? And now they're both coming at you with the Zika. The Zika is minor league Zika. Right. It's just not the same league. And so now one, the Yibum of one will not impact the other. Okay. So now, good. That's the problem. Now that the problem's presented us nice and simple, so what would we like? We would like a solution. Now, Hedy just pointed out just moments earlier that sometimes the solution is just there is no solution. Okay, right? Example we just learned together, right? Rachmanus. After a man and a woman are married, and he had full das when he married her, and then he becomes a cheresh or he becomes a shote. So unfortunately, now that you cannot extricate yourself from that marriage, right? Well, that's a problem. How do we solve for that problem? Okay, so unfortunately, we all know this, right? Not all problems are solvable. Okay.
Rabbi, in that case, if the cheresh passes away with the
she's a widow. Then she's a widow.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, in other words, so you can. I'm saying this as really dark humor, but you can kill him then, and that would be a way to problem solve. But yeah. But no. Okay, fine. So, correct.
But if the sister is a Chereish and she passes away.
Too involved at this point in time. Okay, good. But you got the right. We get the basic idea. So not all problems are going to be solved for. So over here. So, but this is a solvable problem. Okay. So again, he had two wives. One was a Chereish, the other was a Katana, and he died. And now they're both presented to Yibum. So the Mishnah says that because they're not the same Zika, they're both inferior, but they're not the same, so addressing one will not affect the other. Oh, so what do you do? Okay, so let's see all this inside. So Ketan v'Chereish, it's Amar Rav Nachman, we're on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, we're about a quarter of the way from the bottom, at the two dots, at the junction. Ketan v'Chereish, it's Amar Rav Nachman, Ashka Chas, L'Rav Adaba, V'L'Rav Chana Chasnei, Diasvei, V'kamegavu akvasa b'shuka de pumpadisa. An unusual expression, but Rashi basically says that they were fighting it out, right? Not, God forbid, not physical. In other words, they were hashing it out in terms of a proper understanding of our Mishnah. V'amri hadidnan. And what are they learning? They're learning our Mishnah right now. And that is, ketan v'chereish etzem b'yachas poteres arasa hanimila denafla lameachiv pikeach. Now, the Mishnah says, here we have a real conundrum. Now, who's the husband? Who was the late husband? Okay, I don't mean what's his name. And what I mean is, what was his mental status? Was he pikeach? So, hani mila denafla meach pikeach. Maybe that's exactly the case. And why? In other words, why would that complicate matters? Because lo yadin ni biktan nichalei becheresh nichalei. Because at this point in time, maybe look, why aren't these women on the same playing field? Meaning, like in my terrible analogy, meaning it's minor league Zika. It's not major league Zika. But who cares? Meaning minor league Zika if they were both ketanos, so he said it's the same. The Yibam or Chalitza of one will pot to the other. If they're both charashos, the Bia of one will pot to the other. So over here, one's a ketana, one's a chereshes. Okay, why don't we just say the same thing? It's minor league Zika. The Bia of one will pot to the other. Why don't we say that? So what we are thinking right now is, I'll tell you why. Because the husband, the late husband, was the Pikeach. And here's what I don't know. Which one did he favor? Now, I know that's a funny question, right? In other words, by children, you shouldn't have favorites then. Something that's not applicable to you and I. By wives also, you shouldn't have favorites. Okay? but in a moment, we're going to see that favoring over here means that maybe this is what we're entertaining. This is a really fascinating Gemara. Maybe his favoring one wife over the other may inform us in terms of which one's a stronger marriage. Again, they're both minor league marriages, but maybe within that, one is above the other. And the problem is, we don't know which one is above the other. Well, let's consider. On one hand, the ketana may be more favorable to him, because currently right now she's a minor, but their prognosis is good. She's going to grow up, she's going to mature into a, not just a woman, but a woman who's a bardas. Or maybe no. Maybe the chereshes right now is favorable to him, because at least she's an adult. And quite frankly, and this, you know, whatever, quite frankly, the bia with her is just simply more pleasurable. So, but if the husband was a cheresh, then we wouldn't have a question. Meaning, if the husband was a cheresh, so of those two women, which one's more favorable to him? The cheresh is more favorable to him. Number one, bas bia, she's an adult. Number two, matzah minas mino. Right, they're of the same type. So, and in that case over there, so then I would have said that in the that if he was a cheresh, married to one a chereshes, two a ketana, and then he died, so then I would have suggested that we know which one is the stronger marriage, meaning they're both minor league, but which one's the stronger marriage, him and the chereshes, and therefore one being presented for yibum, so then. The Zika you should be addressing is the Chereshes, not of the Ketana. Okay. That's what I thought. And Va'amina Lahu, and the response was, Ana afilo nafla lei me'achiv Cheresh, nami misafkelei. You're wrong. You're just simply wrong. Meaning, the question of which one is the preferred marriage and which one is a higher status. Again, everything is operating over here on a din de Rabbanan. Everything over here is minor league Zika, but within this minor league Zika, if one's a Ketana, the other Chereshes, we simply don't know which one is above the other. And because we don't know which one's above the other, so now we have what's called a problem. Okay, good. And so the only thing, and the first thing that we just established is, it doesn't matter whether the late husband was a Cheresh or was a Pikeach. Either way, the suffix exists. Good. Now that we have a problem, so in this particular case, do we have a solution? Ketzad takanasam. So the Gemara says, yeah, we do have a solution. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav. So Rav is going to give us another following solution, and that is, Konesa Chereshes Umutziya Beget. So here's your three-step solution. Everyone ready? Step number one. So go over to the Chereshes, marry her. Okay? Now remember, Chalitza is off the table, right? Because we concluded together that a Chereshes is not a candidate for Chalitza. Okay, so marry the Chereshes. Step number one. Step number two. Divorce her with a get. Step number three, v'ketana tamtim ashtagdil. So for the ketana, wait till she gets older, v'tachlos and do chalitza to her. Okay? That is your three-step solution. Okay. Generally speaking, obviously it's not advised. Meaning, generally speaking, you want to do yibum to do the mitzvah of yibum. Right? Correct. But over here, because of this particular problem, and we want to solve for this problem, so therefore we have this unique case, this three-step solution. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. I was waiting for someone to ask. Okay. So now this is unbelievably unusual. And why these three steps? So look at Rashi over here, Ketzat Tekanasim. Rashi writes, Rashi sets up, look, here's the problems. The problems are is that one is not going to pater the other, as we already established. And v'cherishas la b'chalitza hi. D'nepuk tarvay b'chalitza. And as far as the cherishas is concerned, not a candidate for chalitza. So in other words, you can't just simply do chalitza to both. Okay, now. V'im yabim la v'chalitza katana. So now, let's consider the following. Let's say you're miyabim the cherishas. Good. And you do chalitza to the katana. Also good, right? So Rashi says no. Why? Kishetagdil mifsala kamaisa. Because what happens now when that katana grows up? When that katana grows up, she will disqualify her co-wife. Dekamle below yivne. The habia de chereshes lo dachezika. Because when you had bia with the chereshes, so you resolved the zika? No. Okay. You addressed the Zika, but you didn't resolve the Zika. Meaning, when do you normally resolve the Zika? When you know you have a bona fide Zika in front of you, and you either do Bia or Yibam or Chalitza. Right? Bia, Yibam, same thing. Right? So there you not only address the Zika, you resolve the Zika. But with the Chereshes, even if you were to, let's say for example, you were to do Bia with her. So you address the Zika, but you haven't resolved it. Because again, the Zika is not a full-fledged Zika. There's still some Zika remaining. And now as you go over to the katana, and again, what you would like to do with the katana is address her as well. Well, if you do chalitza with her, so what you've now done is there's still Zika from the first wife. And once you do chalitza with the katana, so now you've started the process of chalitza to all the co-wives. You are not allowed to marry any of the co-wives. This is an idea which we already expressed numerous times in the Masechta. Let's say, for example, just right going back to what we learned earlier. Let's say you give a get to one of the wives. So what happens to all the co-wives? They all become disqualified. Why? Because of the iser of kevin de lo bana shuv lo yivne. Meaning once you are beginning the process of distancing, so that's it. In other words, no longer can you do Yibum. So over here, once you do Chalitza to the Katana, so now that is going to force your hand to basically to distance yourself from all the co-wives, even including the Chereshes that you quote-unquote did Yibum with. Okay, now, I realize at this point in time that's really complicated, meaning this is a part of the Gemara right now that's really hard. So if you are stuck over here, okay, I assure you that I spent Baruch Hashem, I spent a good amount of time thinking about this, pondering this. Okay, I understand. Maybe I'm not expressing it as well as I could be, but I understand the dilemma. And that's why we are looking now for a solution. A solution in which basically what you could do is you could part ways from both of these women, allowing both of them to move on and to marry again somebody else. Not you, but somebody else. So the right now, the best way to do it is, and when I say the best, I really mean the only way to do it is to first address the Chereshes by marrying her, divorcing her, okay? Then going over to the Katana and then doing Chalitza to her. Okay, fine. And in doing so now, you're now allowing both of those women to quote-unquote move on with their lives. Okay, now, that already was challenging. Oh, but wait. It only is going to get a little bit more challenging, but just a little bit more. We're going to top off in terms of challenging. I'm Rav Chista Shmamina. We're back in the Gemara. So what can we now proudly say? That not only do we have a solution over here, but we also have a window into what the marriages are. So as I began today's daf, it's so funny. We haven't even begun today's daf yet, but that's fine. I knew today was going to be a challenging day. So as we began today's daf today, I said that as far as the Katana is concerned, as far as the Chereshes is concerned, the marriage is a non daraisa. They're derabbanan marriages, but even as derabbanan marriages, they're not the same. That part's clear. Meaning that we know, but when we say that they are different, in what way are they different? So Amar Rav Chista Shmamina Kasav Rav Chereshes Kenuya Mashiyeres Katana Kenuya Veina Kenuya. So here's what I can say. I can say that the Chereshes, So what kind of kinyan does a man have with a chereshes? Partial kinyan, right? Kenuya umishu yeres. So, right, just to use a term that we're going to be just saying again and again, partial kinyan. Okay. In other words, not a full kinyan, fine, partial kinyan. Now, as far as the ketan is concerned, we also say that exists in some plane between being a daraisa versus being nothing. What is it? It's kenuya veina kenuya. Okay, again, the terminology that we'll use, suffix. Oh. Now, that's not the same. They're different. Meaning, by the chereshes, basically, the marriage that exists between a man and a chereshes is partial. Okay? Meaning, the chachamim allowed for a degree of kinyan. Okay? I'm just saying this just so we can hear it a little bit differently. 50% kinyan. Okay? Made up number. But it doesn't matter. You get the idea. But when it comes to Ketana, it's that her marriage now to a man, again, without her das and without her father providing the das, so her marriage to a man exists somewhere between a kinyan gamur and nothing. It's a suffix vacillating between the two. Okay. So now, what Rav Chis is pointing out is that I know how they differ, and furthermore, I even know which one's which. The chereshes, partial kinyan. The ketana, suffic kinyan. The isa, kadacha chereshes, kenuya veina kenuya. Ketana, kenuya mishiheres. So because let's now, we are in the laboratory and we're really testing out, like what would be if it went the other way. Let's say, for example, the chereshes is kenuya veina kenuya. The chereshes itself was vacillating between a full kinyan and nothing. And the ketana was kenuya mishiheres. And the ketana was a partial kinyan. So chereshes amai kones umotzia beget. So then, as far as the chereshes is concerned, so why would you marry her and then release her with a get? Taste of gabe mimanafshach. In other words, as far as the chereshes is concerned, so what should she do is that you should keep her. Keep her. Why? Because e kenuya, because again, we are right now proposing that the chereshes is a safek and the ketana is the partial. Because e kenuyihi so ha kenuyihi v'ilav kenuyihi ha nachris ba'amahi. Because remember, if the chereshes was a suffek, so what are my two options? My two options are actually pretty clear: either full fledged widow, full fledged zika, and my marriage to her was full fledged yibum. Alternatively, nothing, meaning. And not a widow at all, no Zika at all, and my marrying her is just simply, I'm marrying a woman. No. So then there would never be a need to exercise divorce with her, because there would be no problem. And as far as the katana is concerned, I have to dress a katana, fine, I'll dress a katana. I'll do chalitza with a katana. So and the Gemara says, okay, but then if this is true, so then why for the katana wait until she becomes an adult and do chalitza? So why don't we say the following? So the Gemara says, okay, but let's now flip it around to where we think we are. Meaning, where do we think we are? We think the katana is the suffix. And we think the chereshes is the partial. So the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? How about just now marry the katana, keep the katana? So the Gemara says, yeah, but im kein chereshes ba my tepuk. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you the problem with that, and that is that as far as the chereshes is concerned, so what are you going to do? Meaning, how are you going to excuse the chereshes? There's no way you can excuse the chereshes. The chereshes is now going to be existing in this unsolvable problem. If we went with the solution that we did put out, meaning marry the chereshes and divorce her, so then we solve for both women. Okay. So basically what comes out is the following now. So Rav Chisda, within Rav's solution, is now able to point to more specifically how the nature of the relationships exist between a man and a chereshes and a man and a katana.
If he's marrying her with the intent to divorce her, can he do reveal with her because he's intending to divorce
her? Yeah, so similar to, it's very similar to Heidi's question. Danny also asked a similar question as well. Under normal circumstances, let's say no, meaning no. But over here, because we have a particular problem that we need to solve for, and that is the ability, the allowance of both of these women to continue on with their lives. So therefore, in this particular case, it is, to say the least, unusual. But that's why in this particular case, we are going to use an unusual maneuver. But yes, it's what you're pointing out is fantastic, meaning that we are going to do something which is, you know, the vast majority of the time is something we would not propose. Okay. Yeah, this is not a great place to stop, but we're going to pause over here. Amr of Sheshis is where we're going to pick it up tomorrow. I know we're behind, but that's fine. We really got over the most difficult part of today's Gemara, and that is number one in the case of the Mishnah when the man was married to a Ketana Chereshis, and then he dies. So the Mishnah says that there is no longer an option not to do Yibum to one, to Pat to the other, not to do Chalitza to one, to Pat to the other. That's off the table. Why? Because they're operating on different levels, meaning they're both minor league Zikas, but nevertheless, it's not the same minor league Zika. Two different minor leagues. And so therefore, one is not going to address the other. Okay. So what do we do today? Two things, really. Number one, three things, really. Number one is that we rejected the idea that it really matters whether the husband, the original husband, the late husband was a cheresh or pikeach. Meaning because for a moment we thought that maybe he was a pikeach and our lack of clarity is a predicate of we don't know which wife he preferred. Okay. The first thing that we did is we strike that as a possibility, reject that. That's not the issue. The suffix exists totally irrespective of the husband's favoring one wife over the other. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that we solved for the problem, meaning the Mishnah doesn't solve for the problem, we solve for the problem. When I say we, I mean Rav. Rav told us what you do is that you go over to the Chereshis, you marry her, then divorce her, now she's free to go, then you go over to the Ketana, wait till she becomes an adult, do Chalitza with her, and she's free to go as well. Ah, problem solved. Okay? And again, why specifically those three steps? So we went through the Rashi together, where Rashi says anything else that you do will not allow the freedom of both of the women. Okay, good. And then the third thing that we did this morning, which also is a handful, is that we had Rav Chista's comment on Rav. Rav Chista said, what do I now see from Rav? What I see is that we can now directly pinpoint what partial marriage we're looking at in regards to both of these women. When it comes to Chereshes, so what is it? Kenuya Meshuyeres, partial marriage, partial kinyan. But when it comes to the Ketana, so we are suffek, meaning we are between a full marriage and no marriage. Suffek. Okay? And that's why they're not operating on the same plane. That's why one will not affect the other. And why specifically do we know that? So the Gemara went through the logic ladder of how exactly we arrived at that conclusion. Okay, I'd cut.